Game of Thrones. Oh my God.
There's dragons.
Gotta watch it.
You see them. There's this fight scene with the fire. And some guy really small.
Winter's coming.
Can you help us? The guy that is season for a long time. See, they get bigger.
Watch your
head. Now they're amazing.
Is that a guy or a girl?
Like, seriously, you gotta see it.
What's his name again?
It's like a chicken shit.
What does Dracarys mean?
And,
lost his hair.
Feel cool.
Fucking red wedding.
Cannot give you back your homes or restore your dead to life, but perhaps I can give you justice in the name of our king.
Dracarys.
Lannister. Baratheon. Stark. Tyrell. They're all just spokes on a wheel. This one's on top, then that one's on top, and on it spins, crushing those on the ground. I'm not going to stop the wheel. I'm going to break the wheel.
Stannis Baratheon has an army at Castle Black. He means to take the north.
This is the time, and I will risk everything. Winter is coming. We know what's coming with it.
We can learn to live with the wildlings. We can add them to the army of the dead.
You are the few. We are the many.
We serve the gods, and the gods demand justice.
Clean this city up. So the rats have nowhere left to hide.
I am a queen, not a butcher.
All rulers are either butchers or meat.
Welcome back to the Coffee Klatch Crew Game of Thrones episode review. This is season 2 for us and season 5 for Game of Thrones. I'm Jason Pistorino.
I'm Christina Lomangino, and we are giving to you here a special season 5 prequel episode.
Dragons are bigger. Tyrion's still short. And I am freaking out.
Well, that was an amazing preview that we just played. A little bit different than the preview that's been airing, getting us excited for the Game of Thrones Season 5 premiere, which will be April 12th at 9 p.m. on HBO. And taking us into Season 5, which is titled The Wars to Come for TV.
All I know is when I heard our intro music, it brought me right back into it.
Got you excited about it?
I got to be honest with everyone. I made a list of everyone's names, and I have to remember it again. Because we've been watching so many other shows. The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a plethora of shows and movies that we love and we want to do a podcast about. And there's so many characters in this season, many of which have died already, and I have to remember their names, and this is the best way to do it for me, and probably the best way to do it for our listeners.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people that are fans of the shows, and no matter how often they've watched the episodes, how excited they get about it, after this much time, we'll be talking about, are you excited for the season to start? And they'll say, yeah, but I don't really remember what happened to so-and-so. Mm-hmm. Well, where's Sansa, and where do we leave off with Tyrion? So I said, well, a prequel episode would be good. Get us excited for the series to start again, recap where we left off in season 4 with our main characters, and what we think's going to happen to them in this season. Based on that preview, I would say a lot of fighting, a lot of wars will be number 1 on the list.
And the dragons are huge now.
Yeah.
I hope there's a lot of dragons this season. I mean, I just saw a small clip, and I didn't read the books, you did.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like Daenerys may have found a way to communicate with her dragons, but and not control, but at least tame them. But it was a 2-second clip, but it looked like she was telling him to go do something, and he did it. So I'm hoping that she found her inner Caesar Milan, but instead of for dogs, it's for dragons.
Well, I have to say a lot of that preview did seem to be based around Danny and what's going on in Marine. Mm-hmm. You get to see the dragons, like you said, which look awesome. You see them pulling a statue down from the top of one of the pyramids, which we don't know if that represents their old gods or their old ways, but symbolically, it seems like she's really taking over.
Yeah.
Then we see people fighting in the streets, her kind of making her way through that. We see her lying in bed with somebody, some man that we don't know who that is.
Me.
So it does appear that there's going to be a decent amount of focus on her, mm-hmm. which we didn't have a lot of plot line going on with her last season, so I'd be happy to see some more.
In the books, there was no plot line, so they were actually like just giving her a plot line so that we would
feel satisfied
at least, right? In the books that they were doing last season?
This totally makes sense because for those of you who aren't aware, season 5 will be based mostly on the 4th and 5th novels of the Song of Ice and Fire series. So Book 4 is A Feast for Crows. Book 5, A Dance with Dragons. The two books run concurrently at the same time frame, but following different sets of characters. The 4th novel details events in the Seven Kingdoms, and the 5th follows events outside of them. The Wall, Arya, Tyrion, and Dany. So it's really, the 4th book doesn't have anything about her at all.
Okay, so I was right.
Originally, they were supposed to be one very long novel, but Martin had to split them up because it grew too large. So he decided, same time frame, just do some characters here and some characters in the 5th. But I guess the TV series wanted to keep you following along, keep all the characters relevant, so they had to pull a little from here, a little from there. That's why it's hard to know what to expect, even as a book reader, for what we're going to see in this season. Before we get into talking about the characters and where we left off with the plot lines in season 4, let's just give you some fun information about the show in general. The first piece being the future of the show. So we talked about this on our regular podcast, but just to fill those of you in who are following GOT podcasts, author George R.R. Martin's publisher confirmed that Book 6, The Winds of Winter, for which we've been waiting since 2011, will not, in fact, be published in 2015. So that's what was predicted a while back. We were all eagerly awaiting that, taking a little longer than was anticipated, has a lot of readers and fans very upset. But the HBO show is on a regular schedule. It films every fall and screens every spring. So there's really no hope of delaying it, especially given the large number of teenage actors that are growing up faster than the pace of the story, Bran being one of them.
Yeah.
And the producers have already made it clear they intend to end the show with season 7. No matter what happens with books or anything else, they have their outline. So we already have a clear roadmap. Season 6 will arrive in 2016, and our last season 7 in 2017. However, Martin's roadmap involves two more novels, The Winds of Winter and A Dream of Spring. The titles were announced nearly a decade ago, and we don't know how long it's going to take to write them. He typically takes 2 years.
Yeah.
At the shortest in between his novels. So the question on everybody's minds, what if the screen version of something beats the book it was based on for the first time in history?
Doesn't matter.
And it looks like that's what's going to happen here. The books will not be written by the time the producers have to come up with the stories for those seasons.
Right. But R.R. Martin, he's involved. He's heavily involved. So he's going to be there to dictate what happens. You know, something, they're not going to make something happen to a character that R.R. Martin would be like, that would never happen. No. You know, I have a feeling that we're going to be satisfied. We're going to be happy.
Well, not only that, but he told the producers key plot points years ago to cover this exact eventuality, should this happen.
Right.
So they've had a roadmap for the basics of what's to come. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to veer too far off course, but we have noticed that with each season, there are seemingly more and more changes, diversions from the book, and they're handling it very well, so maybe they'll just continue to do so.
You know, I just want to tell our listeners, R.R. Martin has a blog. It's kind of like a public journal.
Okay.
And you can read it at grrm.livejournal.com.
Oh, that's very cool.
And he writes to his fans. The way he writes is very liberal. It's kind of like he's speaking to you.
Hmm.
And he spoke, you know, for instance, in one of his, well, first of all, you look at it, and it says not a blog. one of his blog entries, he speaks about the fact that he's not going to go to one of the conventions that he was supposed to go to.
Okay.
It's one of the many, many conventions. Let's call them, quote unquote, nerd conventions. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I would be there if I could be. And the whole internet and everyone said he bailed out of all of the conventions he's going to. He's so overstressed and everything. So he wrote an additional blog saying, a couple of posts ago, I announced that I decided to cancel a couple of my planned appearances in 2015, namely the World Fantasy Convention in Saratoga.
There's a World Fantasy Convention?
Yeah, man.
I think he can wants to go to that.
As seems to happen with everything I post these days, this was immediately misinterpreted and misreported. The usual game of internet telephone took place. Suddenly, it's being said that I had canceled all of my planned appearances for 2015. So then he starts to explain himself. Definitely, if you guys are really Game of Thrones fans, which you obviously are if you're listening to this, check out his blog. Again, it's grrm.livejournal.com. Hmm. And you can see what he's really up to.
Yeah.
And also listen to us, of course.
Well, yeah, that you gotta do. So let's talk about some fun trivia facts. In an uncommon move, HBO renewed the show for seasons 5 and 6 of Game of Thrones only a few days after the airing of the season 4 episode premiere, which set new ratings records at HBO. It was the first time HBO has commissioned two seasons at once for a major drama series. Which
crazy.
Is pretty cool. The trailer of season 5 was actually screened in IMAX theaters. And the season premiere will mark the first time for the show to air the premiere subsequently worldwide. So we all know that last season it was one of the most pirated shows on television.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't want to wait for the TV airing to risk spoilers of what would happen.
Right.
So besides launching HBO Now streaming that anyone in the U.S. can sign up for, every new episode will be simulcast with the U.S. premiere in 170 countries.
Love it.
That's crazy that they're doing that because they're the most pirated show in the world. So let's just air it at the same time. Why not?
Makes sense, though. And we've gone over it. I was just about to say something, and I realized we've gone over it last season. How much money they spend, HBO spends
yes.
per episode, and how mm-hmm. much money they make, and how many downloads and views they get. It's astronomical. It's record-breaking
yeah.
across the board. If you guys want the exact numbers, if you guys want to hear any background detail about the actors or the directors or anything like season details, episode details that you can't pick up just by watching the show, definitely download our season 1 Game of Thrones episode review podcast. If you're listening to this particular episode off of the Coffee Clatch Crew podcast, you'll have to dig down deeply past the regular CKC mm-hmm. podcast to get to the Game of Thrones podcast. But as we announced before, we have opened a new podcast called Game of Thrones Episode Review. So you can, if you're just interested in those podcasts, just go to iTunes.com, Game of Thrones Episode Review. That's the podcast. If you forget that, just remember CoffeeClatchCrew.com. You can see both podcasts there. We have links, a plethora of links where you can go to iTunes and just download those episodes. So if you're behind, if you want some awesome details, remember, go to season 1 of our podcast and download those.
Yeah, the very first episode of season 1, we recap season 3, talk about what had happened, our predictions for season 4. Then we go into our episode reviews. So every episode that they air on TV, we review afterwards. We recap what happened, the important events. We talk about the differences from book to TV, what's changed, our predictions, and some fun facts. And then at the end of season 4, there's a bonus episode that gives you some extra content. So if you're looking to get psyched up for season 5, you want a little more, you can take a look at that as well. So let's talk a little bit about season 5. We said already the title is The Wars to Come. There will be 10 episodes, airing April 12th and going till June 21st.
The title's what?
The Wars to Come.
Oh, I thought, because it could have been what I thought you said, The Worst to Come. Because you always feel like there's
well, the maybe
worst
that
is yet
too.
To come. Yeah.
They filmed in apparently just 3 locations this season, Croatia, Northern Ireland, and Spain. Some interesting
all
news.
Beautiful places, by the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Some interesting news. Luckily, David Benioff and D.B. Weiss return as executive producers for both seasons 5 and 6. That's official. They've both signed a new 2-year contract. However, several regular directors are not returning for season 5. This is the first time since season 2 that no episodes are directed by our 2 executive producers.
Whoa. Okay.
Also, R.R. Martin will not be writing an episode for this season, as he has done in every previous season, because he wants to, quote-unquote, focus on finishing The Winds of Winter, the 6th novel.
Which, undoubtedly, is because of all the pressure he's getting. I feel bad for the dude.
Yeah, people are getting angry with him. Just write faster.
But they don't realize he's writing all these side stories for Game of Thrones, like all these subsidiary stories about Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and these are long novels. And when it finally comes, we're going to want it to be amazing. There's so much buildup and anticipation. It's not like he can just turn it over and say whatever.
Right. And let me ask you, because you're a writer.
Mm-hmm.
We have a hard time dissecting what he's written. Because it's like an onion. There's so many fucking layers. There's so many details that you can't just read through. That you can't skim through these books.
Oh, absolutely not.
So it's difficult for us as readers. What about being the writer? How hard would that be to have all these details and to organize it and know when to place them and how to say them and not give too much but not give too little?
I can't imagine. As I'm reading his books, there are characters that I forget. Who is that? What family did they belong to? There's, you know, you can't tell just from watching the TV series. They really pare it down to the key people that you need to know. And even that's a lot.
Yeah.
But there's so many, many more in the books that aren't even brought into the TV show.
Yeah.
Side characters, side plots, things that have been taken out to simplify for you. So I know when I'm writing, I have to keep notes and outlines and lists of things so that I don't forget where I was going with different ideas and different plot lines. I can only imagine. I'm picturing he must have like a whole wall in his house somewhere with post-it notes all over and little reminders.
And something tells me that he's not a computer guy, so these are all written notes.
I would bet $100 that he definitely does not.
Oh my god. Do you remember last season we showed that video of R.R. Martin getting interviewed and like the interviewer, by the way, what a dickhead, said, what do you say about your viewers wondering and worried about you dying before this happens?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, to all those guys, I say, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to hear the right faster bit either. And, you know, you kind of can't blame him. This is his masterpiece.
It's crazy. What's good about Game of Thrones is, well, one of many things, is that there is no finishing point. This could go on forever.
Yeah, except that I think he pretty much said, not officially, that these last two books will probably be the last two books, The Winds of Winter and A Dream of Spring.
Right, for him, but his siblings, I mean, his children, does he have children?
I don't know, actually.
His benefactors, whoever, I mean,
could pick up the story.
Like 10 years from now, there could be a revive of this, right? And then there's like new storylines based off of his storylines, and you know, you could always extrapolate from what he's created.
Sequels, yeah. Side things. Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean,
hopefully they don't kill it like Star Wars, though.
Well, yeah, but I think it's one of those Harry Potter things where the viewers, the fans, are so enthralled that you just do keep wanting more.
Yeah.
And he has literally created an entire world, an entire fantasy world with locations and languages and people.
It's crazy.
You know, it's immense, the scope of his imagination.
It is.
So let's get into preparing for season 5. Just do a brief recap of where we left our characters and our plot lines in different locations.
Let's do, because I'm lost. I don't even know what's going on.
One of the sites that I looked at had this little intro that said, "The War of the Five Kings, once thought to be drawing to a close, is now instead entering a new and more chaotic phase. Westeros is on the brink of collapse, and many are seizing what they can while the realm implodes." like crows. So that was kind of a description for the metaphor of why he named this book A Feast for Crows.
Okay.
So starting off with King's Landing, the way we left things there, Joffrey is dead, Tywin is dead, Tyrion is gone. Leaving Cersei to rule, won't that be fun, with a small council that's been gutted. So her Hand of the King Tywin is gone, Master of Coin Peter Baelish, Littlefinger, is in the Eyrie with his own schemes. Tyrion and Varys, the Master of Whisperers, have fled. They're on a boat somewhere. So the only original person of the council left is Grand Maester Pycelle, who Cersei pretty much has no use for anyway. She's kind of shooing him out the door now that she has her new guy, Qyburn, who we left off with him performing experiments on the mountain.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the mountain was, when we left him, dying of the manticore venom that was in Oberon's blade when they fought.
Right, I remember now, yeah.
Because he's so strong, though, he didn't die right away, and they didn't really know what to do with him, so Qyburn asked if he could use him for some experiments. So he has been off somewhere, dying slowly. But she's been giving him increasing amounts of responsibility. Somebody that she turns to the way maybe she used to many, many years ago with Pycelle, but now she just looks at him as somebody that's gotten old and useless, and she has no more place for him. So really, her whole small council is kind of decimated, and for as long as we've known in King's Landing, that's what truly helps to rule what's going on there.
Right.
I mean, the king really often has very little to do with what's being manipulated in the politics of the kingdom. It's the small council. So it leaves you wondering, are new people going to step up? They have to be replaced, obviously. Who's going to be brought into the small council? And Cersei is the kind of woman that you could see not really trusting any of them. And, you know, they're just going to be pawns. And she has this vision, probably, that she's the queen now. She's the ruler. Yeah.
Let me ask you, are they going to go Democrat or Republican?
Well, because, I mean, look, you know, she wanted to be a ruler for quite some time now. She's been waiting for her chance to kind of seize power, and there's always somebody getting in her way. Her oaf of a husband, King Robert, then Ned Stark, who comes in and he wants to bring, you know, equality and justice to the kingdom. And she's always had these people to contend with. And even Joffrey, who she probably thought she could pull the strings behind, turned into, she created a monster that got out of her control.
Yeah.
So now she has Tommen, who Tywin was seemingly going to swoop in and take out of her clutches. And now he's dead. So you got to think that she's going to be using Tommen as a puppet now. Who, let's not forget, Tommen is now going to be engaged to Margaery, because she was supposed to marry Joffrey, and Joffrey died, so now that's her new little kingy.
You're reminding me, like, you're bringing all these memories back, and I have PTSD right now of what's going on.
Yeah, King's Landing is a mess, and let's take this one step further, okay? The crown has debts unlike any in the history of the kingdom, really. Their debts under King Robert accrued so high.
Yeah.
And primarily to the Iron Bank in Braavos, one of the biggest lenders. And they've kind of been brushing them off, but their debts to them are enormous, and that's not going to last forever.
No.
Do
you think, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but do you think we're going to see more of that this season?
I don't know. You can't just think they're going to run away and say, oh, okay, no problem.
Are we going to get a closer look at that island?
I would love to.
Because it was beautiful when we saw Braavos.
I think we're going to see more of Braavos. Absolutely.
Arya, we left off, is sailing towards that.
Yeah, she's sailing towards the Free Cities. We don't know if she's going to Braavos or where she's going out east, but it could be.
She used that coin.
She sure did, yeah.
Yeah, so.
From Jaqen.
Hopefully we'll see it. Hopefully we see Jaqen again. I liked him.
Yeah.
I'm fanning out. I'm sorry. Keep talking.
That's okay. Yeah, it's a lot of people we forget about in the course of things. So you know, King's Landing, the crown is in debt to the Iron Bank. On top of that, large areas of the Riverlands have been devastated because of this war that's been going on. So we haven't seen it yet. I have a feeling we'll get a better view of it in this season, that the main breadbasket regions of the Seven Kingdoms, the area that grow their crops for food, okay, have been largely ruined by war. And it's known throughout history, they talk about it a lot in the book, how often in advance they prepare, because there's years of spring and summer and then years of winter. So yeah, when time is good, they save up these harvests as much as they can, because they never know how long winter is going to last, and people are just going to starve to death if there's not enough.
Right.
So now we know for sure winter's coming. We know for sure that they don't have enough food or enough supplies. And now most of their main areas where they could have gotten those crops from have been destroyed because of war. So you're looking
at... Let me give you an ignorant question. When was the last war? What do you mean destroyed? Hasn't it been years since the last war?
The war that's going on right now. The fighting that was going on between King Rob's army, mm-hmm, and the Lannisters.
Oh, okay.
Rebels. You're going to see all sorts of the results of... We just have been hearing about the fighting and how it affects people politically, but we haven't been seeing what it's doing to their country, to the small people.
Right.
So I think we're going to get a better glimpse of that here.
Holy shit, and the walkers are coming.
Right.
Winter is coming, yeah.
Just all sorts of chaos, and the one time we really need a strong leader, who's going to be sitting on the throne?
We as humans, are we going to fucking smarten up and team up with the wildlings to fight these walkers, or are we going to have two battles going on at once, which is the regular people?
Yep.
Against the wildlings, and the walkers against the wildlings and the regular people.
Yeah, well, and like they said in the preview, if they don't take the wildlings in with them, if they try to fight them, the more dead bodies they accumulate, the more walkers they have.
Yeah.
And they're going to have enough to contend with that you would hope they could come to some sort of peace together. If not, even just letting them go on their way and quit fighting somebody that doesn't have to be an enemy, so you can focus on the real enemy.
So wait, you just said the more dead bodies they accumulate, the mm-hmm, more walkers.
Yeah.
If you die, you become a walker?
That's what they're learning.
Have we learned that?
They're learning that there's two separate things that come from the north. There's these whites, the creatures that we saw gathering around that ice.
With that baby.
That ice dais in mm-hmm, one of the episodes in season four, the guys that have blue eyes and seem to have some sort of power. And then there's just the reanimated bodies of the dead that are rising back up. And those are the things that attacked Bran, okay, and company when they were on their way. They were almost at the Great Weirwood Tree.
Okay.
And they started rising up out of the earth and grabbing them.
Oh, that's right.
And so those are just reanimated corpses, essentially.
So we got a Walking Dead epidemic going on.
Well, it would appear
that way.
Where's
Carl?
Carl!
Carl! Carl!
We're going to get more to the north in a second, but finishing off with King's Landing first. So, you know, we have their regions of crops decimated. The only ally right now to the throne that has an army of some sort, which isn't broken from battle, mm-hmm, and food resources are the Tyrells, who are already intertwined with the throne through Margaery's engagement to Tommen. But you gotta assume we're gonna become more dependent on them because they're the only people that have a bounty of harvest in their region.
Oh, okay.
You know, so where we left off with Cersei is her being typically stubborn, kicking Pycelle out, doing her own thing. When she had her last conversation with Jaime, Jaime tried to tell her that she still has to marry Larys. And she freaked out over that, threatened to expose the truth of what was going on to everybody. Jaime scolded Cersei for the way she's treated Tyrion and told her that she can't kill him. And then Jaime turns around and helps Tyrion escape from his cell, where he was imprisoned.
That's right, yes.
And he was supposed to take him to Varys, who would take him to the ship. There was a tender goodbye between Jaime and Tyrion, very different from the books. And Tyrion, instead of going directly to the boat, went up to his father's room, where he found Shay sleeping in his father's bed. Lest we forget, Shay, the former prostitute, his lover, now appears to have been sleeping with Tywin. And he winds up killing Shay with the necklace out of anger. And then goes to find Tywin, where he's sitting on a toilet. And they have a very tense exchange, following which Tyrion shoots him with a crossbow.
Ugh.
Twice, and kills him. And then he goes to meet Varys on the ship, where it looks like he's being hidden to ensure safe passage wherever they're going.
Stressing me out.
So much stress. So yeah, that's where we leave our characters of King's Landing in that area. Then going back to the north that we were just talking about, the way we leave off with them.
Do you think Jon Snow is the king to making the wildlings join with the king's men? Because he could be, right? I mean, I think anyone's going to do it, it's going to be him.
Yeah, I think that he's shown he is good at trying to keep the peace. I think that he has been among the wildlings. Mm-hmm. He has loved Ygritte, who is a wildling. They go more into the books about how when he was living with them, he learned of their ways. He came to respect them and appreciate certain ways of life that they had, and to see that they really weren't different from them all these years that they'd been looking at the wildlings as these sort of savage enemies beyond the wall, and really they're just people. And so the tragedy that's occurring in these books is that the people in the Seven Kingdoms are busy fighting each other for absolutely no reason for control over the throne, when the real enemy is the winter that's coming and the walkers in the north. And so even at the wall, there's been these politics of fighting with the wildlings that right. really, essentially now everyone's coming to realize shouldn't matter. And hopefully Jon will be the person to be able to resolve this. But I mean, this is years of this situation happening the way it's been. And, you know, even when we leave off with Jon Snow, we see that he went to, quote unquote, treat for peace. Okay. With the wildling leader, Mance Rayder. Really, we have to believe he was being sent to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And just as Mance realizes that, Stannis, Davos, and his army invade. Mance is then captured by force, and Jon convinces them to keep him as a prisoner instead of killing him. And then we see, you know, this big funeral that they have for any of the dead brothers that died in the battle. And whatever strangeness is going on between Melisandre and Jon Snow, which is clearly going to become some kind of an issue in this season.
Ugh.
And then we end up with Jon taking Ygritte and, you know, her dead body north of the wall at Tormund's urging to bury her. So, you know, I think the issue here is going to be that Stannis believes he is the one true rightful king of the Seven Kingdoms, and that hasn't worked out for him so well thus far. But I think he's starting to see that what he has to do is protect the North from invasion, and right. that's his way to get his kingdom back. However, how will he work with Jon Snow, seeing as how the Night's Watch is sworn to maintain political neutrality? They're not supposed to take part in any of the things that are going on in the Seven Kingdoms.
Okay.
And what kind of a defense can we really have against the walkers, whatever might be coming from the north? We have the very limited amount of Night's Watch that are there. And then if you look at the main armies of the north, they were all caught up in the war against the Lannisters. And then so many of them were slaughtered at the Red Wedding. You're looking at the main army being left of House Bolton, who returned to the north following the recapture of Moe Cailin. And they seem to be on the Lannister side as well, and the Lannisters are just totally disregarding anything that's happening at the Wall. They don't believe in these fairy tales of White Walkers and Grumpkins and Snarks, as they put it. So who are you going to have in the North, really, to protect against what might be coming?
Not much. Oh. I'm worried now.
Well, we also left Bran and company at the Weirwood tree, where they were meeting the Children of the Forest, and we don't really know what's going to happen there. That's a big mystery to us still. And then we can move on to the Eyrie, which we didn't see a lot of what's going to be happening there. you actually have to go back to episode 8 of last season, if you remember where we left off with Sansa.
Yes.
Sansa and Littlefinger were going to be taking Robin out of the Eyrie for the first time. So the last time we see her, she's coming down the stairs to meet Littlefinger, seemingly transformed. She's got new hair color, a new dress, a new attitude.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yes.
We don't really know what's going on with her.
Puberty.
What we do know is that Littlefinger, we're coming to find out, has been behind so many of the schemes taking part in the Seven Kingdoms.
Yeah.
He was, if you go all the way back, he was responsible for poisoning Jon Arryn, Robert's hand, mm-hmm. and Lysa's former husband, who he was conspiring with Lysa. He engineered the betrayal of Ned Stark. He helped Lady Olenna Tyrell to assassinate King Joffrey. And then he murdered Lysa. He pushed her out the moon door. And he's now seizing power over the Vale through her son Robin. So he's got a lot of plans going on that he seems to have been putting together for a long time.
Does he still own the brothel?
I believe it's still his, yeah.
Is he making money? Like, they don't have banks where you can go online and see how you're checking.
I believe the books, you're making a joke, but I actually believe the books talked about that the brothels were still a really prolific source of income. Because
how the hell is he getting the money, though?
Wanted. I think that we left off that woman prostitute was sort of running things there, no?
Yeah, but how is he getting the money?
Roz? Was that her name, Roz?
I don't recall.
I think she was the redhead that came from the north, who actually doesn't exist in the books.
Oh, okay.
In talking about his character, though, you know, there's some differences from book to TV, the way they portray certain characters. It keeps pretty true, but Martin actually said in a 2013 interview that he thinks Littlefinger is one of the characters most changed from book to TV.
Okay.
He says, book Littlefinger is very good at pretending to be friendly and helpful, even as he cynically calculates to use and destroy someone to serve his own ends. But in contrast, Martin felt that TV Littlefinger is portrayed as too overtly menacing. Book Littlefinger sucks people in to the point that it's confusing exactly what his goals are, similar to how it's still deliberately vague if Varys is being honest. Due to his intelligence and shrewd judge of character, Tyrion is one of the few people that can see through his act, but even he isn't sure how far the duplicity goes. So he's a lot more conniving in the books. You kind of, people almost want to like him, and they find him a bit charming and think that he is maybe just there to help you until he turns around and reveals his true plans.
In the show, we don't feel that way at all. I almost feel like Tyrion is that way for me. Like, I still like him.
Of course, I like him
the most.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we've talked about this before, that there's very little black and white with Martin's characters.
Of course.
You're back and forth on the balance of good and bad in them. So it'll be interesting to see what he has planned there. Clearly some kind of taking control over the Vale. Which leads me to the fact that the only regions other than the Reach, the Tyrells of Highgarden that we were talking about, that they still have an army and they still have bounty, mm-hmm. the only areas other than them that have remained neutral and untouched by the war are the Vale, ruled by House Arryn, that Littlefinger's trying to take over, and Dorne, who we really haven't seen much of, ruled by House Martell in the south. We saw Oberyn and the fact that he came up to be on the Small Council to get revenge. But we don't know a lot about them yet, so hopefully we'll be seeing them in this season, because they still want justice for their prince, Prince Oberon, who died in the trial by combat. And they also have Myrcella, Cersei's only daughter, as their ward, who they're keeping there, and she's betrothed to marry Prince Dorne's son, Trystane.
Okay.
So you have to believe they're going to become relevant at some point. But going back to our characters, we only have two left to discuss, the first being Arya. So where we left her was that the Hound and Brienne finally have a fight, to which she seemingly wins. He gets knocked over the side of that cliff that they're fighting on.
Oh, that was such a sad scene. Just remembering, like, I didn't want the Hound to die because I've grown to really like him.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very cynical, and I'm like, that's not you, Arya. That's not you.
She's changed so much from her experiences.
Yeah. Well, and
you were there was this bond for me. Even though the Hound wasn't your typical good guy, and he was hard to like, there was definitely a relationship happening between him and Arya.
Yeah. And, oh, that last scene, I just wanted him to be okay.
Well, and she leaves him. She doesn't even give him the gift of mercy to kill him.
And you said in the books it's even worse, right? You said...
Yeah, well, he doesn't fight Brienne in the books. They don't meet like that. Mm. But he does have that cut that becomes infected. And it gets so bad that he lays down one day and he can't get back up. And he's asking her.
Okay, so I like it better in the show because I don't want, like, a cut that just festers to take the Hound down.
It's
so
a little
like,
bit more of an epic battle.
Yeah.
Well, so then, you know, we see Arya sort of walking off on her own, and she goes to the coast where she speaks to the captain of the ship, and he agrees to take her to Braavos after she gives him the coin.
The coin, yeah.
From Jaqen. So we have no idea where she's going, just that she's sailing off towards the east.
Well, I thought he did say that he was going towards...
They were bound for Braavos, I believe, the ship, but we don't know what her plans are.
Oh, I hope she meets him again, Jaqen. Fuck, that was awesome. Is Jaqen a... Can he change his form?
Yeah, we saw him the last time she spoke with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, turn back to look at her and he had a different face.
That's right.
So he has some kind of knowledge of things like that. So then we go further east to our last character, which is Daenerys. And she's in Slaver's Bay, attempting to rule Meereen, which she's finding to be much more difficult than actually conquering it.
Wow.
And she's holding court, where, if you remember, she is having an issue with the slaves who can't make a living now on their own, and they're asking to have the ability to sell themselves back into slavery under contract. And she has to agree to that. She's offered them their freedom, so they have to have the freedom to be able to do that. And she's also struggling with the man who comes in to show her the burnt bones of his child that her dragon, Drogon, killed.
That was an epic episode, and I really liked the Coffee Klatch Crew review on that because we really went into detail of what she's going through emotionally.
Yes, we discussed that at length.
And if you guys want to hear about that, go back and download that episode because holy shit.
Well, yeah, because right after that, then, there, you know, there's no sight of Drogon for 3 days, but she realizes she has to do something about them. So she takes the other two dragons, Rhaegal and Viserion, down to the catacombs, and she has to chain them. And that was a highly emotional moment for her.
Yeah. For her? What about me?
So we'll see where that's going to take us, if she will be able to, in fact, rule over this territory. All we've seen so far of her as a queen, a ruler, whatever she's going to be, is that she can conquer. She mm-hmm. can fight. She can take over a territory. But does she have what it takes to rule them? And if she ever wants to go back and try to rule the Seven Kingdoms, this is sort of her trial period here in the East to see if she can do it. And she's got the dragons who are growing larger and wilder by the day to contend with as well. So
We've probably discussed this, and I don't remember. Are one of the dragons female by any chance?
We don't know for sure. She believes no, but there's no real way for her to tell.
If a horse's cock is huge, can you imagine a dragon's?
So to sum it all up, we're coming back to...
Sorry, keep going.
To sum it all up, in season 5, I think we're looking at political struggle, vying for the throne, the wars of the kingdom leaving the areas decimated. We have threats in the form of what lies to the north and winter coming, and we have what's going on in the east and Dany and her dragons, and then we have characters that seem to be going so off on their own with no direction, lost, purposeless, Tyrion, Arya.
I hope they find something that gets them together, or something that gets them charged within the storyline where we have more of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like all these separate parts sort of moving off on their own. Mm-hmm. And then people struggling with their responsibilities and how they can step up to their duties, like Jon Snow and Dany. So it's a complex system of what's going on there, and it'll be interesting to see where they go with it in season 5.
I can't wait. The first episode of season 5 is coming at you April 12th. That means that week we will come out with an episode review, and we'll give you details on what's going on. We'll give you background stories and actor stories, and you're going to fucking love it.
We're excited for this season to start. Can't wait. Make sure to look for our upcoming podcast.
We have one last story. There's a digital art every year at South by Southwest, which is essentially it's a set of film, interactive, and music festivals and conferences. This year, Game of Thrones did this cool digital art project where Game of Thrones fans get to turn a photo of themselves into a digital collage of swords, crow feathers, and stag antlers by swinging Arya Stark's wooden practice sword given to her by Cyril Farrell. The sword was created by the same guy who created the actual sword for Set, and it's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Let's get into this.
Oh, Cyril.
Every year, HBO brings a bit of Westeros to South by Southwest, and I'm not just talking about the throne that I'm sitting on. So let's go see what they got for us this year.
This is the Game of Thrones interactive sword experience, where people can create an image of themselves with sword fighting, because one of the main characters, there'll be a lot of her and sword fighting in the new season. And so it made sense to make that one of the heroes of this experience. So the sword that people are using is the training sword for Arya in the season where she learns sword fighting for the first time. And we actually were able to work with the original sword maker that made it for the show, and he made the replicas for this, complete with a special area where we could put sensors into the swords. Inside the sword, there is an activity sensor that measures the direction that somebody's holding the sword, the trajectory, the accelerometer, and we're able to use that to tell where someone's swinging the sword in their unique swing, and we create art based on that swing. We like installations where people know immediately what to do, and they don't have to think about the technology behind it, that everyone can get something out of it.
It's a really cool installation design, and it looks like a collage, essentially. And when you break these shapes, you get your face in a Game of Thrones kind of...
Well, yeah, and you have to watch it to see, but the art was responding to them. So they had the swords in hand, and they were swinging, and then the art was breaking up on screen, very responsive, very amazing. I'd love to try that.
This concludes our Game of Thrones Season 5 prequel episode. If you guys dug it, definitely tell your friends about it. Check out our CKC podcast, where we get a little goofier. We have fun with friends, and we have guests on that are... doing beautiful things in the world. Mm-hmm. We had a guest that created a movie. We have our bird on there, Achilles, who's like a dragon, but very tiny. Don't forget to tell your friends. Check out our Facebook at CKC Podcast, and check out our Twitter page at CKC Podcast. Also, please leave a review on iTunes. Leave us a review. It helps us tremendously. The more viewers we have, the more time we can commit to this. Essentially give you more content that you would really dig.
Thanks for listening. Watch for our Season 5 Episode 1 review.
We love you guys.
Please hang up and try again.